What was that?
A low rumbling sound had broken the silence around them. It grew steadily louder as they looked up and down the street for some sign of a headlight. It swelled to a roar as they both looked up at the sky, and a huge motorcycle fell out of the air and landed on the road in front of them. If the motorcycle was huge, it was nothing to the man sitting astride it. He was almost twice as tall as a normal man and at least five times as wide. He looked simply too big to be allowed, and so wild. Long tangles of bushy black hair and beard hid most of his face. He had hands the size of trash can lids, and his feet, in their leather boots, were like baby dolphins. In his vast, muscular arms, he was holding a bundle of blankets.
"Hagrid," said Dumbledore, sounding relieved. "At last! And where did you get that motorcycle?"
"Borrowed it, Professor Dumbledore, sir," said the giant, climbing carefully off the motorcycle as he spoke. "Young Sirius Black lent it to me. I've got him, sir."
"No problems, were there?"
"No, sir. House was almost destroyed, but I got him out all right before the muggles started swarming around. He fell asleep as we was flying over Bristol."
Harry clambered onto his Nimbus 2000. Madame Hooch gave a loud blast on her silver whistle. 15 brooms rose up high, high into the air. They were off.
"Malma Quaffle is taken immediately by Angelina Johnson of Gryffindor. What an excellent chaser that girl is, and rather attractive too. Jordan!" "Sorry, Professor."
The Weasley twins' friend, Lee Jordan, was doing the commentary for the match, closely watched by Professor McGonagall.
"And she's really belting along up there. A neat pass to Alicia Spinett, a good friend of Oliver Wood's. Last year, only a reserve. Back to Johnson. And no, the Slytherins have taken the Quaffle. Slytherin captain Marcus Flint gains the Quaffle, and off he goes. Flint flying like an eagle up there. He's going to score. No! Stopped by an excellent move by Gryffindor keeper Wood. And the Gryffindors take the Quaffle. That's chaser Katie Bell of the Gryffindor there. Nice dive around Flint. Off, up the field, and... Oh, shut! That must have hurt. Hit in the back of the head by a bludger. A Quaffle taken by the Slytherins. That's Adrian Pusey speeding off toward the goalpost. But he's blocked by a second bludger. Sent his way by Fred or George Weasley. Can't tell which. Nice play by the Gryffindor beater, anyway. And Johnson back in possession of the Quaffle."
Professor Lupin appeared to have woken up at last. Harry could hear movements in his corner. None of them spoke. There was a soft, crackling noise, and a shivering light filled the compartment. Professor Lupin appeared to be holding a handful of flames. They illuminated his tired, gray face, but his eyes looked alert and wary. "Stay where you are," he said in the same hoarse voice, and he got slowly to his feet, with his handful of fire held out in front of him. But the door slid slowly open before Lupin could reach it. Standing in the doorway, illuminated by the shivering flames in Lupin's hand, was a cloaked figure that towered to the ceiling. Its face was completely hidden beneath its hood. Harry's eyes darted downward, and what he saw made his stomach contract. There was a hand protruding from the cloak, and it was glistening, greyish, slimy-looking, and scabbed, like something dead that had decayed in water. But it was visible only for a split second. As though the creature beneath the cloak sensed Harry's gaze, the hand was suddenly withdrawn into the folds of its black cloak. And then the thing beneath the hood, whatever it was, drew a long, slow, rattling breath, as though it were trying to suck something more than air from its surroundings. An intense cold swept over them all. Harry felt his own breath catch in his chest. The cold went deeper than his skin. It was inside his chest. It was inside his very heart. Harry's eyes rolled up into his head. He couldn't see. He was drowning in cold. There was a rushing in his ears as though of water. He was being dragged downward, the roaring growing louder. And then, from far away, he heard screaming, terrible, terrified, pleading screams. He wanted to help whoever it was. He tried to move his arms, but couldn't. A thick white fog was